Amen. So, amen. That means you're going to get a word. You can even get a couple words if you're not satisfied with one. Just say, I'm going to take a whole bunch of them. Because God loves you. He's big. He gives out words for you. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a great year. I am expecting, I am seeing, I am calling forth great things in my own life and in the life here. That we're going to see God move whenever we gather with signs, wonders, visitations, and demonstrations. Amen. Amen. Okay. Just a little trivia. Communion fellowship, wonderful time to connect and hang out and get to know people and just eat your heart's content and start your diet tomorrow. That's what I like about communion fellowship. The back table is full of sugar. And I said, well, tomorrow, we'll come around tomorrow. What I saw was we have probably about 10 old brown tables. And I was just tired of those brown tables. And I just bought new white tables. And my brown tables are in the closet as you walk in the foyer. And if you'd like to take a brown table or a couple of those brown tables, they are for taking. Please take them home. Because those brown tables, we try to lug them in here to set up and lug them out. And some of them need a little screws because the sides are falling off. But you just screw them back on. All right? So please take them. Because if they're here next week, I'm giving them to somebody else. So you can just take them. You don't even have to ask me. They're in the closet. Now, you might want to say, Pastor D, I can't take them today. But if you want to call me and say, hang on to these because I want them. I see Carl talking to Pat. Pat, how many are you going to take, Carl? Take a couple of those. You could use them. Yeah. All right, so get rid of these brown tables. Now we have the white ones, and they're really lightweight and easy to move. I just wanted to make that offer to you. Also, if you live close to YCF and you're here after a snow, you can help out by shoveling our front and our sidewalks. We have somebody that plows, but the shovel part is at the mercy. So come and shovel. Okay, you can talk to Brenton. He'd love not to show up with a shovel. I'd love not to. All right. And you can sprinkle some salt. All righty. Okay, that's all my little announcements here. I'm on. I'm good. We're ready. You ready? You excited? I'm really excited. This is part three of a week where I say to you, I wish you knew this about God. I just wish you knew that God, first week, is not mad at you. How? Listen. The nature of God is love. That is who he is. So how could you ever say, oh, God's mad at me? Even when you've blown it. That's all. Our first week, if you weren't here, go get the CD or listen to it free online. I wish you knew that God was not mad at you. Last week we did, I wish you knew. Ah, I wish you knew how easy it is to be led by God. Some people make it so complicated, and I'm like, God's the Robert, it's so easy. So if you weren't here last week, go get it. Now, I'm going to read you a story before I give you the title. Okay? Here we go. A poor man had scrimped and saved every cent until he could buy a ticket on a great ship to come to America. He only had enough money left to buy some cheese and bread to eat on the trip. And he would gaze longingly into the dining rooms and watch people eat beautiful food and enjoy themselves so. On the morning of their arrival to New York, one of the ship's officers asked the man if they had offended him in any way, because he had not eaten with them. Oh, no, replied the man. I only had enough money to pay for my ticket. And I didn't have enough money to eat in the dining rooms. The officer looked at the man at almost unbelief and said, sir, I'm so sorry. Your meals were included in your ticket. Okay. I wish you knew what was included in the meal ticket. There we go. I got a title this time. I keep changing my titles. If you're taking notes, I wish you knew. Many, many followers don't know what's included. And they don't know how connected you are. How many of you are believers, followers of Jesus? Okay, so I'm talking to you. They don't know, we don't know how connected we are to a man who lived, about 4,000 years ago. All right? And if you knew how connected you are to this man who lived 4,000 years ago, it would hugely change how you live life. And this man's name is Abraham. Okay, now, just imagine, so we're going to talk about Abraham, but just imagine you are a part of a very exclusive club, all right? And they have very strict guidelines to have admission and membership into the club. And only the privileged get to belong to this club. Okay, just imagine that's you, all right? But this club is not like any ordinary club, because this club is very inclusive. It includes red and yellow, black and white, rich and poor, okay? And all its members have one common trait. Even though they've got all these different backgrounds, they have one common trait. And they can trace back their lineage. How many can go back a couple generations? Have you ever done that? My cousin Maureen does it. I'll call her up and I go, now what? Tell me again. But listen, all of those people in this exclusive club can trace back their lineage to one man who was a goat herder. And his name was Abraham. And if you only knew about Abraham, you'd live life so much bigger sometimes. Okay, so I wish, what would I say? I wish you knew what was included in the ticket. The meal. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about Abraham, and I wish you knew the covenant God made with Abraham. Because, guys, you would live life so big. You would not have, matter of fact, you would pray differently, many of you, if you knew this covenant God made with Abraham. That you're a part of this club. All right? Now, let's turn over to Genesis. We got to start there. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Looking, here we go. Genesis chapter 1. And it starts out where God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 26, here we go. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Underline that word. Oh, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping things. You do not have to be afraid of spiders. Just step on them. I've seen guys freak out. I'm like, what? Okay, you got dominion over creeping things, right? That creep on the earth. So God created man in his image, own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them. All right, now. Something happened in that garden in the beginning that was fabulous, amazing, and wonderful, right? And then something great and awful took place, all right? That changed. There was a big change that took place in that garden. And that's when Satan appeared to Adam's wife, Eve. Satan shows up, all right? Now, Satan has been kicked out of heaven by then. Kicked out, and one time I said two-thirds of the angels. Excuse me, it's only one-third. Don't give him any more than he needs, all right? So Satan had been kicked out of, I was like, oh, a little reversal here. Satan had been kicked out of heaven, and he's roaming around. And he goes and has a conversation with Adam's wife, Eve. And he deceives her. Everybody say deceives. He deceives her to disobey God's command. And then we say misery loves company. Guess what? She goes and tells Adam, and Adam willfully follows her into this whole rebellion. So Adam disobeyed God. Now, you got to have this understanding before we get to the covenant now. At that point, prior to that, God was Adam's father, like a stepdad, all right? They had a relationship. They had communion and fellowship. They just did life. They had this relationship. But after there was a big disconnect, okay, things changed. And Adam handed over to Satan the dominion and the authority that he had. He handed it over, and at that point, Satan became the father, the stepdad, the evil stepdad of Adam and everyone afterwards. All right? So that's just, man, and he's bad, all right? Now, but the great thing that happened is God was so committed to Adam. God was committed to mankind. God is love, and his love was committed. Now, most of us, you blew it, done, out of here. Have you ever done that to someone? You blew it, you're next, get out of here. God didn't do that. He was right there, committed to mankind. Now, this is when the covenant comes in here. He needed a way, God needed a way, legally, to unite again to man. And he does it through a covenant, all right? To unite man to God and God to man. So God approaches Abram. Turn over to Genesis 17. God approaches this guy, Abram. Abram, he's not changed his name. Now, Abram, he's a moon worshiper. He's not a goody-goody-two-shoes that you would pick. All right? God approaches somebody not perfect. Thank you, Jesus. He approached me and I was not perfect, all right? So God approaches Abraham and he gives him this proposal. And you know what happened? Abram bought into it. God says, I've got this covenant, I've got this proposal, and I want to know if you want it. And Abram buys into it. So here we are in Genesis 17. I'm not there, you are, hold on. Genesis 17. Here we go. And Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram. A moon worshiper. Just cracked me up. All right? He appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, be blameless. Blameless doesn't mean perfect, okay? We'll get into that later. That I may make a covenant between me and you. And may multiply you greatly. And Abram fell on his face. And God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. This is God. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into a nation, and a nation shall come from you, and I shall establish my covenant between me and you and your offsprings after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. To be God to you and your offspring after you. All right. God just proposes this huge, big blessing to Abram. Wants to know if he wants it. I think it was a no-brainer. He said, yeah, I want this. I want this. Now, I'm not going to use the word proposal anymore. I'm going to say, I want this covenant. God, he says to God, I want this covenant. Now, later on, I think it's in verse 15 or 16 like that, God says to Abram's wife, Sarai, you get a name change also, and you are going to give Abram, who is now Abraham, a son. And, you know, it's a little Bible trivia. Sometimes you just like to whip this out because you feel like you studied your Bible. Sarai and Sarah, which was going to be her new name, sound very similar. They are actually really similar. They both mean princess. But Sarai, before the change, means My princess. Now, how many daddies have walked up to the little girls and said, oh, you're my little princess? Huh? How many have ever heard that? Oh, you're my little princess. My girls just thought the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, they owned. Because daddy would go and say, you're my little princess. Now, to you, they may be the little princess. But to everybody else in the world, they're not. They found out later in life. Get a room full of little princesses together. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so God changes Sarai's name to Sarah, and it means princess of nations. You are the princess. You're not just my prince. You are the princess. Okay, now you got Bible trivia, okay? Okay, so God has these huge promises, and he also says that Sarah, who will be Sarah, will give you a son. Now, hallelujah. This covenant that God comes knocking on the door of this guy, Abram, moon worshiper, and he gets his name changed because he goes into covenant with God. This covenant lays the foundation for all the great blessings. This is like the Rock of Gibraltar that everything's built off of. Okay? So write down covenant. Whew, man. All the good things would come through this covenant to Abraham, to his descendants, and all the generations. This covenant's big. And if you don't know what's in there, you're just living life real little. I'm telling you. Now, this is the best part. This covenant made it possible to have a relationship with God again. Because what happened before? Adam blew it, lost this relationship. So this covenant made it possible for people, for Abram, who's now Abraham, to approach God. You get to go to God, and he's got ears open, all right? So let me give you an example about this and how strong this covenant is. Abraham has now died. It's a couple hundred years later, and his descendants kind of got themselves into big-time trouble. Okay, his descendants had left and gone to Egypt, right, to follow Joseph, because Joseph was going to take care of them and feed them because there was a famine in the land. So for a long time, things are really good for the descendants of who? Abraham. They were having it was good. It was really good. Matter of fact, they were multiplying. They were really doing great. And but what happened? Pharaoh dies. And then another pharaoh, and then another pharaoh. And this pharaoh who's now in position is like a change in dynasty. He doesn't even remember Joseph. Like when you say the name Joseph, it didn't do nothing for him. Okay? And because of that, he didn't remember Joseph. And he's like, hey, we got too many of these Israelites. Let's make them slaves. Okay? So this is what happens. Turn over to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And listen, while they're slaves, it is awful. They're having an awful time. They're not on good times now, okay? So verse 32, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered. I'm going to say that again. And God remembered. Now, what did he remember? His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Listen, I want you to see why God heard their cry. Now, think about it. Why did God hear their cry? It was based on the covenant he had with Abraham. And the relationship he had with Abraham, okay? It wasn't because God heard their cry because they had any relationship. Now, some of them did, and actually a whole bunch of them, those Israelites that were living in Egypt, kind of just chucked God by the side, started worshiping idols and, you know, kind of went their merry way. So God heard their prayers, their cry for help, definitely not because they were doing so good, not because they were so pleasing before God, not because they even walked with God like Abraham did. Why did God hear their cry and come to the rescue? It said there, it says, God remembered his covenant with who? Okay, so I think this Abraham guy is pretty important. All right, so if you're taking notes, God heard their cry because of this covenant he made with Abraham, because of the relationship God had with Abraham. That's why he heard their cry, because of the relationship they had with Abraham, God had with Abraham. Okay, now look at verse 9. God makes this covenant. Let's go back to Genesis 17. God makes this covenant with Abraham. And he says, I will do this, I will do this. This is God. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. That's God. That's God's part of the covenant. And then, starting in verse 9, this is Abraham's responsibility or response to the covenant. Now, who started it? Hey, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. Now, verse 9. Except for I got to find it. Hold on a minute. Here we go. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offsprings after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant that you shall keep between me and you and your offsprings after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Okay. And you know what happened? Now, most of you are going, I don't know about this. I might have to pray about this. I don't know. This might be a little painful here. Because I like verse 12, and it says that God finished his conversation. He's having this conversation with Abraham. He finishes the conversation, and immediately Abraham grabs Isaac and all the men in the household, and he does it. His responsibility, I'm committing to this. That's pretty interesting. Right? Okay. Now, the circumcision was a sign that they accepted the covenant. Write that down. Circumcision was a sign, their sign, that they accepted it. All right? Had Abraham not done that, he would have not accepted the covenant and walked away. He must have really liked this covenant. Are you kidding me? This covenant was full of blessings for your body. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in your storehouse. The fruit of your womb is blessed. Bless, bless, bless. And so Abraham's like, ugh, and he does this. All right. Now, the people back then were really firm about this covenant of circumcision. They held on to that. Matter of fact, 900 years goes by. 900 years, guys, is a really long time, right? 900 years, all right, goes by, and they didn't forget the covenant. They didn't forget the covenant of circumcision with that. They didn't forget it. As a matter of fact, this kid David, 900 years later, still knows the covenant of Abraham and the covenant of circumcision, because turn over to, you don't have to do it, just write it down. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, David, this kid David, his dad sends him with a truckload of food, and he says, go visit your brothers. They're part of the army. He said, they're fighting the Philistines with King Saul, and go bring him some food and see how everybody's doing, because they didn't have internet, so they had to send somebody off. Okay? So David shows up with the food at this battle against the Israelite army against the Philistines. And he's there that day when this giant, this Philistine giant, comes up and he starts mocking. Your mother wears army boots. It's worse stuff than that, okay? I'm trying to think what you would mock. Okay, but he starts mocking the Israelites. And David listens to that. And he said, who is that Philistine that uncircumcised Philistine who would defy the armies of the living God? Notice what he said. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that would mock the living God? You know what David was saying? You're not circumcised. You're not a part of the promises. David understood the covenant. And then he goes, wait a minute. We're the circumcised. We're the ones with the promise. We've got a covenant with God. Let's go do something about it. And what did David do? He went and chopped, you know, did his little sling thingy, and then he chopped the guy's head off, right? Okay. Why? Why could David do that? David understood the covenant. David understood the covenant and circumcision. That's why. David understood the power of this covenant that God made with Abraham. And this is 900 years later, and he's going, I am a part of this covenant. And he goes, does life. Guys, if we only understood the covenant, we'd do life this big. All right? Amen? All right, now, if you understand how strong the covenant is, it will totally change the way you approach God and the way you pray. It'll change the way you start your morning off, right? If you understand what's in that covenant. So, turn over to Matthew, Matthew 15. Okay, Matthew 15, here we go. Okay, we're almost there. If you got to Matthew 15, I don't want to go there quite yet. Turn over to Ephesians 2. I'm going to get there. Okay, David understood this covenant. Now, David understood the covenant that God made with Abraham and then God with Isaac and Jacob and all the descendants. But listen, he understood that. Now, if you're not one of those, what are you? If you're not one of those, you're a non-Jew. And they used to slack the title on a Gentile. So if you're not a part of the covenant people, you are a non-Jew, a Gentile. All right? If you're not a part of the covenant people, you are also outside. All right? I'm going to go something with that. Now, Paul wrote about this. Now, I'm going to tie in. I'm not confused. I know where I'm going. I'm just trying to figure out how I could say this. Paul is going to write this Ephesians 2, and he's talking to us as Christians. But also, he's talking to us before we receive Jesus. And he says this, and it's a covenant talk. Here you go. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh were called... read it. Uncircumcised, okay? By the ones that were circumcised, the covenant ones, which is made of the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. And then the best part, but I'm not going to preach that till later. But thanks be to Jesus Christ who, okay, I can't get to that part. That's my punchline. Who makes it so big to us. All right. So let me say this. From the time the covenant was given to Paul wrote this, it's 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And this covenant and circumcision, they're still nailing it. They're still hanging on to it. They are really tenacious, even actually ridiculous. Okay? They're still hanging on to this. Okay? Now, Matthew. Here we go. Matthew 15. Jesus understood the power of this covenant. Jesus understood the power of this covenant. In Matthew 15, it's a story where you can put it up or whatever, just write it down. There's a story of a Canaanite woman who goes to Jesus while he's walking around. Canaanite, guess what? She is a Gentile. She is not a covenant woman. She is a far apart outside of the covenant promises. And yet this woman comes walking up to Jesus, right? Come this not in the covenant, not in the promises, not on the inside, not in the club. This woman walks up and actually she has no right to approach Jesus. I love this woman here. And she starts asking Jesus to heal her daughter. And he just doesn't even listen to her. All right? And then, like a real tenacious person, if you can't get daddy to give you what you want, you go to mommy, right? And she goes to the disciples and rah, 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 rah. And they go, Jesus, will you do something with her? She's driving us crazy. And he's like, woman. I love the quote here. Okay, I got to read it. All right, I got it written down here. No, I don't. Yes. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Wow, that's a little rough. I've been called a few things in my life, but, you know, this is like right there. All right? It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, okay? He's telling her, you, woman, are outside of the covenant, and I can't do anything. But listen, she comes back. This is this tenacious thing. And she says, yes, that is true, Lord. She honors him. Yes. Yes, Lord, that's true. But even the pups get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Right there, she demonstrates F-A-I-T-H, faith. She demonstrates faith. And Jesus says to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you wish. Now, why is this so important to us today? Because we get to enter into the covenant, not by our good works, not by how bad you are, not how you feel today. Okay, we get to enter into the covenant by faith in what Jesus did. All right, by faith. Hallelujah. I'm so good. So that woman demonstrated, that really cracks me up. You have to go do a little study, Google all the words where it says faith. He didn't say, oh, you demonstrated faith. He said, you demonstrated great faith. Great faith. All right? And she then came into the covenant and Jesus blessed her. She then, by her faith, came into the covenant and Jesus blessed her. She got, her daughter was healed. Okay? Now, why did Jesus come? He came to enlarge this covenant. Before, guess what? If you weren't an Israelite, you were outside of it. And Jesus came to enlarge it. Aren't you glad? Because I was on the outside of that. All right? Jesus came to, write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus came to enlarge the covenant. Enlarge it, make it big. Because he needed to include you and me. I'm a non-Jew. All right? So that's why, one of the reasons why Jesus came, okay? But for today, he came to enlarge. All right, now, turn over to Galatians. Galatians 3. Everybody say enlarge. Whew, that is good. He came to make this thing so big. Amen? Okay, Galatians 3:13, my favorite. I love this. See if I can, wrong page. I'm going to read Galatians 3:13-14, and then verse 29. Okay, here we go. This is what Jesus came to do. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of who? Everybody say that. The blessings of Abraham. The covenant. The blessings. Okay. The blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised spirit through faith. And then verse 29. Whoops. Verse 29. Here we go. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Wow. Oh my gosh. All right. So the first covenant was with Abraham. Okay. And the covenant gave blessings. Abraham wanted those blessings. So he went into covenant with God. God wanted that covenant so God could have a relationship with man and man could have a relationship and blessings. Okay. Adam fell. Satan came on the scene and God cursed Satan. God cursed him. All right, that's the curse. And anybody, therefore, was cursed because the earth was cursed and you were cursed because you, guess who your dad was? All right, but listen, whoa, The covenant's like this big umbrella, the covenant. And God said, if you come under this covenant umbrella, you can get out of the curse. Now, some people go, yeah, but, you know, you're cursed. No, the earth is cursed. And if your dad's the devil, you're cursed. But when I ask Jesus Christ into my life, I get under this covenant and now I'm the blessed. But the first covenant, okay, I'm kind of all over here. The first covenant, God just like holds up this umbrella. He says, hey, listen, guys, come under the umbrella and get out of the curse. Okay, and Abram says, yeah, I'm going to go into covenant. That is a real good deal, all right? So you can avoid, everybody say avoid the curse. All right. So then God sends Jesus, and by Jesus dying on the cross, he takes sin, he takes death, hallelujah, and then he enlarges the covenant for all those who would believe by faith. That's it. I don't have to be a Jew. Now, can I just complain for a second? All right. I love these people. That there's a new thing around that, you know, okay, how do I say this? Nice, be nice, Dee, Pastor Dee, be nice, be nice. I run across people and they're into Judaism, but they're little Catholic girls and they're little Methodist boys and they weren't born a Jew and they didn't grow up going to synagogue and they're into it. Okay. You can be into it if you want to use that knowledge to help share the gospel to a Jew. But I run into these people and they just want to go back and do all the Jewish law stuff. Listen, I came out of Catholicism. You talk about legal? Kneel, stand, up, down, kneel, stand, up, down, kneel, stand, up, down. Okay. Rosary, da, da, da. All right. There's no way am I going back to legal. All right. Who sets you free? And listen, you do need to know the covenant. You need to understand the law and the covenant. But Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for curses every man that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Okay. Now, if you like to wear one of those scarves, okay, I'm being bad now. I'm going to stop. Okay, be back. Okay. That was just my complaint. All right. Now, okay, Dee, I dare you to get back here. Okay. Okay, let's do it. So Jesus enlarges the covenant so non-Jewish people, Gentiles, people outside of the covenant can come into the covenant. And now you are called the seed of Abraham. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. Remember that Bible story when this woman was bent over with the issue of blood and Jesus said, how dare Satan hold this daughter of Abraham in bondage? Bam, she gets healed. Well, that's you now. I'm a daughter of Abraham. You're a son of Abraham because I'm in the covenant through faith in what Jesus did. This covenant covered every area of your life, physically, healing, your bank accounts, sin, death. It's just amazing. I love the covenant. Hallelujah. So, he enlarges this covenant, and that is why your Bible, right about after Malachi, what do they call it? Thank you. What do they call it after Malachi? The New Covenant. This is a new covenant, a New Testament. It's greater. And listen, the first covenant with Abraham, incredible. So you have all of that. But we're living in the new. Okay, now. You enter this, it has nothing to do with how good you are, how bad you are, how you feel in the morning. You enter it by faith in what Jesus did, that he enlarged it and welcomed you in. The covenant, okay? Now, if God so loved the world so great that he gave his only son, God so loved us so much that he enlarged this to include you, how could you doubt that he's got every good thing for you? How could you doubt the way you pray? Oh, I don't know. You know, we pray stupid sometimes. Okay? How could you doubt that he's not willing? God gave Jesus. He gave you everything. Through the covenant. Hallelujah. He gave his love. He gave. It's glorious. It is so wonderful that I am now part of this covenant. That's wonderful. Me, little old me, I'm a part of this covenant. Okay? Whew, all right. Gee whiz. Let's turn over to Psalm 103. We started our service there. Psalm 103. Man, I'm getting hot from jumping around here. To put the air conditioning on. Oh my gosh, I'm so hot. I can't even find Psalms. Where is it? Here it is. Here it is. God, so hot. So funny. Ask Sherry what I keep the temperature of our house at. She walks around with two sweatshirts. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me. Bless his holy name. Bless," verse 2, "the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." You know what you could write in there? Forget not the covenant. That's covenant talk. Forget not the covenant that Jesus enlarged to include you in. All right? Forget not all his covenant blessings. I'm rewriting this, Cashman version. Here we go. "Who forgives all your iniquities." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't even have them. They're gone, erased. "Who heals all your diseases." You have a covenant of healing. All right? So you don't have to beg God, "Would you please heal my knee?" That's stupid praying. I have done a lot of stupid praying. I still go, that's right. "Thank you, Lord, for the covenant. And then with your stripes, Jesus, I receive what you've done." Okay? Because if you knew what that covenant was, your life would be so big. All right. Okay, where's the rest of them? They're really good here. Let me think. "Heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with everlasting love." Okay, you could just have fun. And I always say that, "And he renews my youth like the eagles." Amen. Hallelujah. He renews my youth like the eagles. I'm going skiing because I'm not afraid. I'm going to church because I'm not afraid of a little snow. If I told you all the old people that called me up yesterday, "Pastor D, I'm not coming to church tomorrow because I'm afraid of the snow." You don't know your covenant. I don't have to. Now, I use a lot of wisdom. There's salt out on my front step. Okay? I use wisdom. But I don't have to be afraid because I know my covenant. I know what Jesus did. He enlarged it. I'm in on it. Ugh. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to wrap up. This is about covenant promises that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus includes you in that. You are now a part of the club. You belong. Jesus Christ said, "I'd cut out this heart of sin and I'd give you a new heart. I'd make you a new creature that you can come boldly now into the throne room of God." Man, I could just preach more on covenant, but you can come up to God and declare the covenant. And man, life, you can live better. So, I wish you knew how much God wants to keep his promise. Amen? I wish you knew. Now, okay. This is my collection, and you can't borrow these. But we have this one, The Blood Covenant by Kenyon. Matter of fact, I've wore off the cover, and I have a new one, all right? This one's by Copeland, Our Covenant with God. This one, I stole from Ruth. Actually, somebody borrowed it, gave it to me to give back to her, and I'm keeping it. It's called The Blood Covenant by Trumbull. Okay, this is an oldie. Copeland has this one, Covenant Made by the Blood, and it's a DVD series. Guys, you might want to just study a little bit, okay? Just study and find out all the blessings that God has for you. Amen? And then the purpose of this is so God will dump, dump, dump on your life. And then you will dump, dump on somebody else's life. And then they'll get it. They'll get it. And they're going to dump, dump, dump on somebody else's life. And you will help grab people and bring them to the high places where you are now seated in the heavenlies because of the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your love that was so big that you would include us when we were so far away. Thank you. Thank you for the covenant that you made with Abraham, and I thank you for the greater covenant that I live in. And if there's anybody here, you've never entered the club. And if you'd like to be a member of the club, it's real easy. I'd like to pray with you. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, talking a lot about clubs, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you'd like to be a part of the club of the new covenant, and Jesus could be Lord of your life, and you could enter into this enlarged, big, belonging place, today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Open it up and let Jesus come in. Is there anybody here that I can pray for that you'd say, I'm not a part? Okay. Anybody here and you say, well, Pastor D, I'm a member of that club, but, you know, I just really have kind of pushed God and walking with him way over here. And today I'd like to come back. Today's a good day to come home. The father stands. I love that. The prodigal son stands at the edge and he's looking out, and he's already got everything all ready. He's ready. He's got his the righteousness coat and the ring and all that stuff. Today's a good day to come back. If there's anybody here and you say, Pastor D, I'd like to come back, I want to pray for you. Okay. Anybody? Good. Good. Well, folks, you're a part of the covenant. Stand up and say, I'm a covenant person. I'm a covenant people. Hallelujah. Be blessed. And I'll see y'all next week. Don't forget, if you want brown tables, we've got brown tables in the closet. Take them. Okay. Some of them need a little tweaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.